Well, good morning, El Paso and Las Cruces. Thank you for joining us this morning. The title of the message this morning is called Living and Thriving in Times of Judgment, Lessons from Some Lost Girls. So this message is going to focus on how we live in times of impending judgment. I don't know about you, but it sure seems like the blessings of God are being lifted from the United States. Things seem to be quite chaotic right now and getting worse. Inflation skyrocketing, our southern border being overrun. We're seeing politics, evil and corruption in politics like never before. We're seeing great division in our nation. We're seeing all kinds of problems. And certainly doesn't look like there's a lot of hope coming down the road. So how do we live in these times? I have a lot of people ask me that. What do I do? How do I live? How do I prep for the last days? And so I think we're going to learn some great lessons from Ruth and Rahab, because they both lived in times of God's judgment on their nations. They both lived in very sinful cities, and they both found a saving faith in the one true God. Let's look at that, and let's talk about how they prepped in these times. So to really begin, we need to understand the setting of the city of Moab, and we need to understand the setting of Israel in the time of Naomi and Ruth. We need to understand the setting of Canaan in the time of Rahab. So let's take a brief look, an overview of that for some background. Now, we're reminded that Moab was birthed out of Sodom. Really, it was birthed out of the perversion of Sodom, where God had brought judgment on the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He had saved Lot and his family out of the city, but his wife had looked back, and so she died coming out of there, and Lot is left with his two daughters. Everybody else perished. His sons-in-law, everyone had died. So the daughters were going, hey, there's no one to perpetuate the seed of our family anymore. They're hiding out in the mountains. I know what we'll do. We'll get our father drunk and we'll sleep with him. And that way we can perpetuate his seed. So they're going to enter into an incestuous, drunken relationship with their father. And that gives birth to a son called Moab. And Moab gives birth to a nation, is the father of the nation of Moab. So that's where it came from, a really sick setting. The mentality of Sodom and Gomorrah, of sexual immorality and everything, was really ingrained in these girls and Lot's daughters. And that produces this city of Moab, who was a major problem to God's people in Israel. They were a constant thorn in Israel's side, and they were constantly causing problems and issues for Israel. So that's the setting of Moab, and Ruth is a Moabitess. So hundreds of years later, here's Ruth, and she's just a lost girl in the city of Moab. She winds up marrying one of the sons of Naomi. We'll talk about that more, and that's how that setting begins. Now, what about Rahab? Rahab is a lost girl in the city of Canaan. She's actually a prostitute. And it's very clear that that's what she was, especially when you look at the word for prostitute in the New Testament. There's really no other way to interpret that that's what she was. She was a prostitute, a Gentile girl, lost girl, living in Canaan. And God had subjected the city of Canaan under his judgment and his wrath. Now, Rahab had a house on the wall. She likely had a painted red windowsill that indicating she was a prostitute, kind of like the red district. You would hear that, well, the prostitutes would paint a red, their windowsills red, so men who came into the city would know that they're available, prostitutes. So that was the lifestyle this young girl was living, probably a disappointment to her family, and the city itself was a sick, idolatrous city, would kill their own children, sacrifice their own children to gods. It was a very sad situation. Kind of reminds me of the United States abortion, the prevalence of abortion and sexual immorality are terrible here. So that's where we are. These are two lost girls. Ruth finds herself in Moab, a child of a city destined for destruction, and Rahab's a prostitute in the city of Canaan destined for destruction. Now, these two are related. They live in different times. They live maybe even a couple hundred, three hundred years apart, but they're living in different times, but they're actually, there's a connection that we're going to find that's really amazing. And they're also going to teach us lessons about how we should live in times of impending judgment. Even if you're driving down the road right now and you're just listening to the radio, you may have turned it to this station by accident, and you hear this and you go, wow, I don't think I could possibly have any part with the one true God because I've sinned too much. Well, we're going to learn lessons here that say you're wrong. You can, and you can be saved. And actually, Jesus said that prostitutes and tax collectors would enter the kingdom of heaven before the religious leaders of his day. Okay, so in our time, we might say strippers and IRS agents will enter the kingdom of heaven before prostitutes and the religious leaders, before pastors and priests. Okay. Strippers and IRS agents. And why would he say that? Because there's been such a failure in religious leadership in our time. There is no real leadership. It is so sick and failed for the most part. Most churches have failed people, and now people are kind of looking for something real in the religious world. And they're trying to find, is God truly real? Is Christianity a real thing, or is it fake and false? So these girls are here are going to teach us lessons that are truly remarkable. You know, I was in downtown Atlanta last week for work, and I was walking downtown, beautiful buildings and everything, but you could see prostitution everywhere. You could see girls being prostituted. You could see sin. There was a lot of crime. Not a safe place to walk around. Sadly, I don't know what's going on with that city, but they are not doing a very good job in their downtown area. And I saw one girl. It was very sad. You could see this young girl walking down the street with some guy. She was clearly being prostituted, and she was high on something. And I thought, boy, what a lost girl there. But then, and I prayed for her, and then I remembered Rahab, and I remembered the words of Jesus that prostitutes would enter the kingdom before others. There's hope for people who have gone astray. In fact, there may be more hope for them than there are for the religious leaders of our time. So we keep that in mind with these stories, and keep that in mind if you're listening and you're struggling with, hey, can God redeem someone like me? Of course he can. He absolutely can. And we're going to hear about that more as we press forward. So Rahab is a harlot. She's in a house, and Joshua sends two spies into the city, and she, by faith, hides the spies. She hides them and shows an act of faith, and because she knows that the one true God is going to bring destruction on her city. She knows it, she believes it, she confesses it, and she takes action on it. And that's the important thing. As you study the story, you know it's coming. You say, you know what? I have no excuse not to believe in the one true God of the Bible anymore. I'm going to confess him as my God, and I'm going to take action on my faith. That's what she did. And that was amazing. Now, Ruth had a similar situation where Naomi came in, her husband really being disobedient. In the time of the judges, doing what was right in his own eyes, he left the promised land of Bethlehem, where he had an inheritance, he had property and inheritance there, and he took his family and he moved to the sin city of Moab. And he wound up dying there, and his two sons died, and now his wife Naomi is left a widow with her two Moabitess daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Now, Orpah turns back after this and goes back to the sin city of Moab, and she disappears into the sin city, never to be heard of again. But Ruth shows faith and clings to Naomi, and she sees something real, and she makes a confession of faith. And she says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Now, for those of you listening, that is a great prayer of faith. She confesses the one true God. She says, "I want to follow you, and I want to follow your God, and I'm going to follow you all the way to death." And that's what Jesus is looking for in faith. He's looking for a life commitment, a way. She's still in the land of destruction, but she's willing to leave her family behind. She's willing to leave her friends behind and follow the one true God through Naomi out of the city of destruction. And Rahab is going to do the same thing. Rahab makes her confession of faith in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9. She says, "I know that the Lord has given you the land." She tells the spies this, "and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." There's her confession of faith. They both these lost girls in lost cities, doomed to destruction, made confessions of faith to follow the one true God. That's where it begins. It begins by believing in your heart and then confessing with your mouth, prepared to take action. Now, how did their faith take action? Well, Joshua spared Rahab the harlot. It says in Joshua 6:5, they went in and the walls of Jericho fell down. You can see them today. They found the walls of Jericho, and there's one section of the wall that was not destroyed, clearly Rahab's house. And in Joshua chapter 6, and Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So she hid them from the king who came looking for him. She hid them in their house. They went and hid in her house. And that was an act of faith, because she knew their God is the true God, and she is now renouncing her citizenship of Canaan. She's renouncing her allegiance to Canaan, and she's pledging allegiance to God and his kingdom, and the people of God and his kingdom. And she does it not just in word, but in deed. She did both. She made the confession, she hid the spies, and she followed them out, and she became a part of God's kingdom. Okay? So by faith, in Hebrews 11:31, it says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." And in James chapter 2, it also mentions Rahab. "And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way?" James 2:25. So really, the works justified that her faith was genuine. She had a genuine faith in her heart. The works justified that her confession was genuine. Okay? Her confession was real, and that was justified by what she did. So when we look back to Ruth, we see Ruth followed Naomi out of the city of destruction, and they go back to the land of promise. Ruth's faith is justified by her action. In beginning in Ruth 1:19, it says, "So the two of them went." Ruth didn't just say, "I'm going to go." She went. She left her family behind. And this is mentioned by Boaz when she goes into the promised land, back to Bethlehem, where God is beginning to bless his people again. She meets this great man, Boaz. Who is this guy? And how does this relate back to Rahab? Listen to how incredible this is. But so Ruth finds grace in Boaz's eyes. He's this rich guy. He's having a great harvest, and he's letting her glean from the harvest. And he shows her mercy. He shows her grace, and he's giving her food. So her response is to fall on her face and bow down to the ground and say to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. See, he confirmed that her faith was real. She bowed down at the feet of a man who was going to redeem her. And Ruth also said to Naomi in Ruth 3:5, she says, all that you say to me, I will do. And then she goes to the feet of Boaz, and she said, Boaz, will you redeem me? So Naomi had sold the inheritance in the land, but the law of Israel said that the close relative could buy it back. Well, it turns out Boaz is a close relative of Naomi. So Naomi sends Ruth to him and says, look, go ask him to be your redeemer and to buy our land back, to be our redeemer. And so she goes to the feet of Boaz one night at the harvest, and Boaz is sleeping on this pile of grain, and she uncovers his feet, and he wakes up and he sees her there, and he says, what are you doing? And she says, will you redeem me? Be my redeemer. Save us. You're a close relative. And so you know what? He did. He saved her. He bought back the inheritance, and he took Ruth as his wife, and Ruth becomes the wife of a great man in Israel. So now she's been saved from her old ways. By faith, she's found a completely new life in a new land, away from the city of destruction, and the story doesn't end there. Now, we're reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew 19:29-30. He said, and everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. You think of the most humble woman of the land of Moab, a widow who would have no inheritance in anything, is now, through faith, entered the land of blessing. And now she has a new husband, a new life, a new way. And you know what? They bear a child, and the child turns out to be in the line of Jesus Christ himself. Ruth becomes one of the great, 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 great grandmothers of Jesus Christ in his line. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible. She becomes a great-grandmother of King David. And we know the line of Christ came from David. The genealogies in the New Testament are traced back. What an amazing story. So, what really happened in these circumstances? You know, what really happened here? Now let's go back over to Rahab. Now, Rahab is redeemed as well. And Rahab marries a man named Salmon, and we're seeing him also in the line of Christ through Rahab. How amazing that is. So Rahab marries Salmon. She's saved out of the city of the destruction of Canaan. She marries Salmon, who, by the way, was probably one of the two spies. A lot of commentators believe that she married one of the two spies that came into the house, and now she has an inheritance in the land of Canaan. Joshua blessed her. Josephus, the historian, reports that Joshua gave her land and an inheritance and her family. She not only saved herself, she saved her whole family. And she had an inheritance in the land. And she also becomes a not only a great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ, but she's the mother of Boaz, who had married Ruth. Isn't that amazing? So Boaz already had this perspective of God saving a lost girl out of Canaan. His own mom, his own mother herself was saved from being a prostitute in Canaan. And now he's a great man in the land of promise. And so God gives him a heart to reach out to Ruth and save Ruth and redeem Ruth. What a beautiful story. Incredible. So then we look at this redemption. Ultimately, there was nothing Ruth could do to redeem herself. She and Naomi needed a redeemer. And we see that Boaz became this incredible redeemer. And we find ourselves in the same situation. Like Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. That means he was a close relative who was able to redeem them. Christ is also our kinsman redeemer. Christ became a man. God became a man in the form of Jesus Christ. And so that he could save us, he had to become a man. The first Adam brought death. The second Adam brings life through Jesus Christ. He had to become one of us, so he became a man. Isn't that amazing? So if we go to him and we say, Jesus, save us, he's able to do it because he is our kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer is someone who redeems what is lost, and he has to be a close relative. So God made one race of people in the world, and that is the humankind. So God became one of us so he could redeem us. What an incredible story of redemption. So Colossians 2:14, it says that Jesus canceled the debt ascribed to us in the decrees that stood against us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. As Boaz took away the debt that Naomi owed and redeemed her and Ruth, Jesus took away our debt of sin and he nailed it to the cross by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way. Again, he nailed it to the cross. In Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So Boaz paid the debt in full for Ruth and redeemed a lost girl who was once under the consequence of a family curse. And she was set free to an entirely new family of eternal blessings. And we see Salmon did the same thing, and Joshua did the same thing for Rahab and her family, redeemed them from the curse of their nation. So I want a few closing thoughts for you to consider. You know, God took two lost girls, Rahab and Ruth, and redeemed them and transferred them literally into the lineage and kingdom of Christ. It's an incredible story. If God can do this for a harlot and a Moabitess, the offspring of a sinful, incestuous relationship, what can God do for you if you put your trust in him? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I want to leave you with a few thoughts. You know, you can't invest your talent for the Lord if your lamp isn't filled with oil. We see this in Matthew 25:14-30. You can't have faith like Ruth and Naomi if you don't leave your home country. If you don't confess and believe, you can't fall at the feet of your Redeemer. We live in a society who wants the redemption of Boaz, but the pleasures of Moab. They want the blessings of Abraham, but the path and city of Sodom and Lot. They want the lifestyle of Canaan, but the security of Rahab. You can't have these both. Faith requires a renouncement of Sodom, a renouncement of Canaan, a renouncement of Moab. Faith requires a renouncement of your old self. Okay, and you may say, I have too many addictions, preacher. I have too many sins. I can't do that. And you're probably right, you can't. But it's faith requires you to change your mind about God and ask him for help. Lord, I know you are the one true God. I know that Jesus died for my sins and he's the only one who can save me. I want to follow your ways. Will you redeem me? I change my mind about the past. I leave it all behind and I turn to follow Jesus now. There you will find the redemption of Rahab. You'll find the redemption of Ruth. You will find the redemption that can only be offered through the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for you. He is your Redeemer. He became a man. He lived a perfect life. He died the death of a perfect sacrifice. He took your place on the cross. He carried your burdens and your sorrows. He bore your sin on the cross. He canceled out the debt that is against you. And now he reaches his hand out to you. He said, will you come to me? Will you leave your old self behind? Will you come out and follow me and take action by faith and follow me? You know, at Grace Chapel, we're going through the Bible. We're learning these lessons. If you don't have a home church and you want to join a church where we will disciple you and help you to follow the Lord, please come out and fellowship with us. Or find another church, another Bible-believing church, and fellowship and follow the Lord. You need to have your hearts filled with the Holy Spirit in these times, following Jesus as a way to prep for the last days. This is how we do it. We prep for the last days by having our lamps filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit and following Christ. He will lead you out of the city of destruction, out of your life of destruction, into a new way. May God bless you as you seek to follow Jesus in your life.